You know, that reminds me of you. What you're talking about kind of reminds me of, I was working and a lady came in, and I have a basket of bracelets with scripture on them sitting there, and there's in a basket on the shelf at this job, and there's a sign that says, free reminder, God loves you. Jesus loves you.
Right.
We love you. And recently there was a woman that came in, and there was only a couple bracelets left, and she wanted them, and I was like, yeah, girl, go ahead, you know, and that kind of opened the door
right.
for a conversation and an invitation to come to church. And it really broke my heart, because out of her mouth, she said, I don't know that I'll ever go to church again.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, well, sister, how come? And she said, because the last time I went to church, and this is in Western Oklahoma, y'all. This is in Western Oklahoma.
Yeah.
She said, because the last time I went, I was told and asked never to come back. And I was like, what? And I kind of, what? What do you mean they asked you and told you to never come back?
Right.
She said, because I was living with my boyfriend, and he went to that church. And whenever I went with him, they came to me aside and told me I was not welcome there. Because I was living in sin. And I had to take a breath, because I was about to bawl, man.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, sister, I said, girl, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Right.
But I can promise you this. I can promise you this. Come to my church. Visit. Just come and visit my church.
Yeah.
I said, you won't get kicked out. I said, they will love you back.
Right.
Just like they did me. I said, I was far from God. And I gave my testimony to her.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a little seed planted. And I'm believing for the harvest of that seed. You know?
Yeah.
And it just, when I apologized, when I looked at her sincerely and apologized, she began to weep. And then we hugged, and she left. And before she walked out the door, she says, I may come to your church.
Yeah.
I may come visit your church. I said, just come and see.
Yeah.
Just come and see.
For sure. We've got to do it different.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like people out there are drowning in sin. Mm-hmm. Are we not going to let them in the boat?
Yeah.
Right.
And when they come to the boat, grabbing the side, let me in. Are we going to stomp their fingers and push them back?
Right.
Or are we going to get their hands and pull them aboard? Help them get on the boat.
Right.
Help them come back to Christ.
Yeah. Because we need to throw life preservers, not weights.
Yeah. I mean, and I was far from, I was probably one exit away from straight hell.
Yeah.
I mean, exiting
right.
this life into hell. Churches need to love people back to God.
Yep.
The only thing be the tool them. That the Lord uses to woo them back to Him.
Yep.
I appreciate you, sir.
I appreciate you guys.
Sister Tina, do we have any prayer requests?
We have an unspoken for Joe and Neva Pyatt, and we want to pray for Traveling Mercies as they're on their last leg of the journey home after their vacation. My friend Alicia is having a procedure tomorrow to take a look at her heart, and then next Thursday they'll be repairing the aneurysm in her brain. My friend Layla's son is having an asthma flare with this weather. We want to pray for Steve's family. He went to be with the Lord Saturday. And we want to pray for Monica's mama, Eva, who has a heart doctor appointment today, and we're believing for a good report.
It's just a checkup. I had to go to the heart doctor. Come to find out, I actually have a heart.
One of flesh, not of stone. Yeah, now.
And you know, and I want, and you know, I say I'm a sissy lala for the Lord. I mean, just the slightest can make me start crying like a sissy lala.
For sure, I'm the same way. I'm a 200-pound man. You'd like me to pray for these?
Yes, please.
All right. So, Father, we thank you for. We just thank you for who you are. And God, even every time I look at prayer requests, I hear prayer requests, Father, I'm just always reminded of your word, because those are the words that you have to say about these situations. And so, Father, today I just come into agreement with your words from the word. And your word says that by your stripes, the stripes that Jesus bore on his back, Father, that our bodies are healed. And Father, so we receive that today in Jesus' name. We thank you for every one of these, for Delisha, for Layla's son, for Steve's family that he's gone on to be with you, Father. We know that there's moments of grief. And Father, those stripes that you bore weren't just for the physical healing of our body, but Father, it touches every part of who we are. You can comfort us in moments of grief and loss. So Father, we thank you for moving on behalf of his family and in every one of these people. For Eva Fleming, Father, we just thank you, God, that you are going to move and work in their lives in ways that will even surprise them. That even the doctors, I want to see expressions on the doctor's face. What? We weren't expecting that, because that's who you are. We want to work outside of the natural, because you are working in the supernatural. So, God, we just say yes, and we receive today the healing that you have in every one of these situations, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Heart to Heart Pregnancy Center is doing a baby boomerang challenge. If you would like to be a part of the baby boomerang, what they will do is they will throw you a baby bottle. You fill it with change, checks, dollar bills, and then don't throw it back. Take it back to them. Good. That might hurt.
Especially if it's got changed. Yeah,
that might hurt your mom, man. And I don't want to hurt your mom by throwing it back at her. So I'll take it and hand it to her. If you would like one of these, all you have to do is contact Heart to Heart Pregnancy Center, 580-243-2229. If you would like to donate, you can send a check or money order to P.O. Box 2122, Elk City, Oklahoma, 73648. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And let's not forget Joshua's Crossing Ministries right here at the Promise Center in Elk City, who has blessed us with allowing us to use their media room, which I call the war room. It's our little war closet, you know. It's our war room. What you got over there, Sister Tina?
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tracker Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Y'all, our guest for today is Jason Mong. His title for today is Fivefold Training Center and Whatever the Holy Spirit Wants. Back to you, sir.
All right. And I love it because we've been talking about more about the Holy Spirit stuff, so that's awesome.
Yeah. He's super sauce.
He is. So let's jump back into the Word for a second. It's still in Philippians 2 here. I'm just going to continue to read now in verse 3. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then here he explains that. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, and he took on the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Verse 9, therefore, God elevated him to the place of the highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declared that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Then he goes on to say, now, dear friends, you always follow my instruction when I was with you, and now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God in deep reverence and fear. And here's the scripture I want to highlight here. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. So this is where I want to kind of highlight. So as we've been talking about this, kind of jumping back to my story about Elon Musk and this Neuralink thing, right? When we look in, bracket verse 2 there, loving one another at the end, working together with one mind and one purpose. So what that looks like in the spiritual realm, being in Christ, is as the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now is inside each and every one of us who've accepted Christ, right? Then it completely changes our mindset. It completely changes who we are. Everything. And it brings us to this place where we're together in one mind and in one purpose, right? And that is what we're going to see. So the book of Revelation, I hear everybody talking about this right now because things are kind of going south, it seems. But quick side note, it seemed that way when the children of Israel standing on the shore of the Red Sea too. But in that moment, it takes a Red Sea moment for God to have a Red Sea moment, right? So things look like they're going way off right now, but we cannot allow that to change or move our hearts. We have to continue to walk in this one mind, one purpose. How do we do that? With the Holy Spirit. Because as we get in God's word, as we commune with God in prayer, that's all it is, a conversation just like we're having now, right? Just conversate with God. Allow him to speak Sometimes he'll just speak inside through that still small voice. Sometimes he speaks back through his word and brings those confirmations into our lives, right? That will bring us to the oneness. And as we see in the book of Revelation, Jesus is going to come back for a bride that is without spot or without wrinkle. And that, what that looks like, is a church, a body that has got this going on. They're working together with one mind and one purpose. They are showing the world this is what Christ-likeness looks like, because we have now aligned ourselves as the body of Christ underneath the head, which is Jesus, and now we are walking this thing out. And people always, you know, I've heard this my entire life in church, like we're bent. We're not broken, we're bent. We got fixed because of Jesus, so we're not broken anymore, but we're bent. No, you're not. You're still believing part of the lie. You're not broken, you're not bent. Matter of fact, when Jesus comes in, he doesn't do it halfway. He doesn't do it just a little bit. He does it, and he does it all. All you have to do is come into agreement with that and say, yes, I believe it. Go back through the New Testament and look at the life of Jesus. How many times it is spoken where your faith, it brought healing to people's bodies, right? Your faith, it is where you apply, when the truth of the word is spoken, when you apply your faith and say, I agree. I believe that. Even when you don't see those things in your life, because it gives the definition of faith. Faith is the evidence of those things that we hope for, the things that we cannot see yet, right? That is what true faith is. It's not when we see it line up that then faith is applied. That's the result of the faith, right? And again, even in that place, we want to look and compare ourselves among ourselves and say, oh, well, Pastor so-and-so or Evangelist so-and-so, or any of these people, they have a greater faith than I do. The word is very clear about that. It says to each one is given the measure of faith. That's not one got 5%, one got 90%, one got 100%. We were all given the measure of faith, but it is how much are you going to apply it? Are you going to apply it in 5% of your life? Are you going to apply it in 50% of your life? Or am I going to go all chips on the table and say, God, I don't know what's coming. I don't know where we're going, but I am all in. I'm going to apply this measure of faith that you have given, and I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to believe everything that I see according to your word and say yes no matter what I see in my life. Because as you do that, guess what you're going to see in your life? Everything that God desires for you. And that will bring, as I stated last time, your best life. You will live your best life in that place because God's desire for you, just like we talked about our kids, you want the best, right? You don't want them lacking anything. You want the best for them. And just kind of even wrapping that into this, to the Fivefold Training Center and what that looks like for me. And so finances, it's a big thing. I walked away from my job, cold turkey, locked the door, I'm out. God's calling me on to bigger and better things. And that didn't make sense to the world. Okay. It doesn't have to. It made sense to my heart, and I know what he's calling me to. And I'm going to run with this at full speed and head on. And like I have not ran fundraisers. I haven't asked for monetary gain. Like I just haven't asked for anything outside of my Father. Now, do I ask? Absolutely, because I'm instructed to do that according to his word. I ask, and I do ask. And God woke me up this morning at 4:19. And I was like, 4:19. So what do? I start flipping through scripture, 4:19. He always kind of gives me, by the time he wakes me up, I start looking at there, and I go to the scripture, and let me just pull it up. Matter of fact, it was right here in Philippians, right where we're at. And this is what Philippians 4:19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And it was just like, it was a moment of comfort, because I'll be honest, I went to a place just a couple of weeks ago where I looked at the bank account and the flesh was like, whoa, you know, and my wife's going to kill me because I haven't even had this conversation with her, and here it is on the air. But I didn't even talk to my wife about it because I didn't want a reaction there either. But what I did is I went to my room, I slammed that door, and I hang out for 2 hours. I did not leave there until I had brought the flesh back into submission of the truth of what the word says. And that's what people, again, places that we don't understand is in maturity in Christ. I don't care what the flesh says. I don't care what the flesh feels. It's not the truth. It's the truth that truly sets you free from all those emotions, from all of those things that would come from your mouth, all those things that we've been talking about. And so what I had to do was go in there and take myself away. And again, I look at the life of Jesus, right? How many times do we see through the New Testament that he removed himself from the 12 and he said, you know what? It's time for me to go hang out with my Father. It took that for him to be able to do the things that God was calling his life to. And we want to, I want you to understand this. Jesus, as we just read in Philippians right here, he laid aside everything inside of him that was God nature. He showed up in this flesh just like you and me, right? And some people, I know some doctrines don't agree there. I'm not worried about your doctrines. I'm worried about the word of God.
That's right.
And what he says there is that he laid aside those things. I'm going to go to it in verse 6. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. And in the Greek, what that word actually means is he emptied himself. Everything that was God, he emptied out of who he was, and he became a man just like you and just like me. That is the hope that I have now, that as the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, that raised him from the ground, now lives inside of me, is the empowerment for me to walk this same way that Jesus walked. That is the only way that us as Christians will become that spot and with spotless and without wrinkle bride that he will show back up for. But we have taught, even in our boxes, in our churches, in our theologies, in our doctrines, and all those things, we have taught that we're still bent. We're not bent. We need to understand the truth of the word. And I know these are bold. This is bold preaching, but I'm here for it. This is what God has called my life to, and it's to speak the word, the truth of what God is saying, because there are too many pastors, there are too many preachers, there are too many teachers out there that are not teaching the truth of what God's words say. And I'm not faulting you. I'm just saying, let's get out of the mud. Let's get out of the muck. Let's see the truth of the God and let's preach it for how it is. And that is, as you've seen me go through, I didn't skip any of these. There were some that I wasn't going to talk about, but I'm still going to read them because they're the truth of God's word. We're not going to skip over the ones that feel uncomfortable. We're not going to skip over the ones that our doctrine doesn't agree with. We're going to read every word of this and we're going to apply that into our life or put it in there so that at some point in our life, the Holy Spirit's going to bring that into fruition in it. And like we were talking about in the break, sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we fall off the bike, right? But that's the Holy Spirit's job as the helper. That's who he is he's going to pick us back up, encourage us on, and we're going to do this thing. And as you do that, you're going to see your life transform into something you never thought possible. If you get your eyes off of I'm convicted, I am damned to sin, right? No, you're not. You were set free when you accepted Jesus. And if you accepted Jesus, but you're still in this other mentality, all you need to do is follow the instruction of the word and renew your mind. That is the only thing that we're instructed to after salvation. Renew the mind's process. Because what comes up here ends up out here, right? So it all starts right here. And yes, we have an enemy that's trying to drop stuff in there all the time. And I'll have people, I don't know how many people I've counseled where they'll come up to me and they'll say, but I still have these thoughts. I know, me too, you know? You cannot control what thought goes in your head. You can't. You don't have that power. But what you can do is take control of it in there and take care of it. And what the word says is take captive that thought and bring it to the obedience of what the word of God says. So if that thought, whatever it is and wherever it comes from, is not according to the obedience of Christ, what do? Like a fly. Get out of here. You have no place to live in my space. This is not your place because whatever is here is going to come from here. And so I need to renew this so then it changes this. And then guess what happens when this changes? So does this. And then we see our lives truly becoming this heart of tenderness and compassion towards people, because no longer am I spewing things that are spreading seeds of discord and anger and ugliness and all those things, but it's the fruits of the Spirit, right? And even in there, let's understand what that is. You don't pray, God, I need patience, right? And that's always kind of the going joke in the Christian world. Don't pray for patience, because guess what's coming? You know what? Patience comes not because God puts you in a hard circumstance. Patience comes because the fruit, that is a fruit of the Spirit that lives inside of you. So as you continually walk in relationship with God, as you take captive those thoughts that come in that are not from Him and bring them to the obedience of Christ, guess what? Those fruits begin to develop in your life. And as we see in the Word, you judge a tree by what? Its fruit. Because I know these bold words that I'm speaking, they're bringing judgment on my life. There are people looking at my life and they want to bring judgment. Bring it. Because what I want you to do is look at the fruit. Because according to Scripture, you look at the fruit and that's the only thing you can judge by. You can't bring up a past. You can't bring my present. You can't bring any of those things that are up in my life. You look at the fruit that's hanging on my tree. And this is a place where God has really showed me too. Like, how many times as Christians do we like, hey, here's a piece of fruit. You want some? You know, like we try to force feed it, you know? That's not our job. What you want to do is produce a fruit that is so appealing. Oh my gosh, can I have some of that? I want a bite of that. That looks amazing. You just need to be the fruit and let those people come to you, and they will come, I promise. If that fruit is being produced in your life, God is going to bring people all around you. Because there's a fruit that they want to partake of, and it will completely change their life. And what is that fruit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Mm. It is Him being produced in your life. And that's not a brag on who you are. It's a brag on who God is. Because we all know, just me, I couldn't do this thing. Mm-mm. I couldn't even say the things that I'm saying if I was looking and judging my own life according to my life. But I'm not. Why? Because I died. I chose through baptism to bury who was Jason Mung, to lay him down, to be done with the flesh of who he was, and allow God to now be the Spirit and the lead in my life, and to say the things, just like today, to say the things that He has to say, you know, and allow those fruits of the Spirit, patience, joy, kindness, all of those things, they just come from who I am, not because I'm working at it, because I quit working. It's because I just became in relationship with God. And that is what this whole fivefold ministry, this whole fivefold training center that I'm trying to build in the building, right? It's not about the building, I promise you that. But it is about the people that will gather under its roof. That's who I will build. And as we shared last time, my whole mission is out of Ephesians 4 in that place to build up, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And in that place, it's what is, like you gave the analogy during our break there. There are people that are drowning, and they are calling out for help. They are hanging on to the edge of the boat, and we are not to be throwing weights or stomping on fingers, but we are to be reaching out to them to help them up, to rescue them from this life that has overtaken them. And what the fivefold training center is going to be is a place that the fivefold ministry, which the Word is very clear about, will not disappear until the end. All five of those things still exist today. The apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and the prophet. And I know, and I even heard from pulpits, they'll try to disqualify some of those. Don't do that. The Word is very clear about it. You don't try to change what I said. This is very clear that these will not pass away. Go read it. They will not pass away until everything is complete. And I know exactly what I walk in, but I have no need to make it on a business card or stand up from the mountaintops and preach about what Jason Mung is or isn't. It doesn't matter. I know who I am, and I know what He's called me to, and I'm going to walk in that. And this building, the fivefold, is exactly that. You're going to see all five of those giftings, and God is going to bring those from the body into that building. I don't know who they all are. Some of them I do. Some of them He's already brought around me. I know my function. I know who I am. Yes, I am called into the fivefold ministry, and I know exactly my place there. But what I'm going to do is understand that, and I am going to build up. I am going to equip the other saints that God hasn't called into the fivefold, but has, called into the ministry. Because when you say yes to Christ, guess what? You just became a minister of the gospel. You don't need a business card. You don't need a qualification. You don't need an ordination. You don't need any of those things. When you say yes, you have now been taken into the family, into the body, and you now become a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are instructed from the word that we are all should be ready to give account for the things that he has done in my life. It is by the word of our testimony that we defeat the enemy, right? So we have to understand that. And so what, everybody keeps asking me, you starting another church? Nope, sure ain't. This is not a church. Is it a church building? Yes, it is. I bought this got this. It was bought from, I don't even remember the denomination now, but it sat there empty for a while.
Was it a Pentecostal?
Pentecostal Holiness, that's what it was. So that's where we got this from. But, and everybody's like, so you're putting a church back together? No, we're just using an old church building. And to me, this is the perfect picture, because what we are doing is we're taking something that men has created, church buildings, and we are going to take the church and stick it inside of there and walk this scripture out according to God's will, to God's purpose. You are going to see people, and you're going to see people. And I know this. God is preparing my heart for this. I'm going to see people that the rest of the world, that church, like you said, has pushed away, has told them you can't come here because you haven't cleaned up yet. He didn't want you clean before you came.
Mm-mm.
Because he knows you can't be clean until you come. But when you come and you accept Jesus, you just accepted the biggest cheerleader of your life and the greatest help that you'll ever receive. Mm-hmm. And what my job is to do is to equip the others in that room to build you up so that you can now become your work in the ministry of the body of Christ. And I know it doesn't happen like that. I'm still in this process of God renewing my mind and showing me different things. And two, let's don't get crazy with that, because sanctification is taught in a way that it's a process till you die. No, because in the word he comes back for a spotless and without wrinkle bride. Therefore, they must have got it. We finally must have got it. And that's what we have to understand. I am not teaching there's a process, but what I am teaching is there's a truth that we need to get inside of us. And when we get that truth and we apply our faith, you are going to see your life transform into something you never thought possible. And the rest of the world will look at it and see the same thing. I never thought that was possible in the life of a man, just as they did in Jesus. He is the example, right? We teach that all the time. He is the example that we look to. And what was he? He was a man that walked a perfect and sinless life. So allow God to do his work in you. And stop trying to judge. Stop trying to say, well, where am I at in it? Or am I 80%? Who cares? Just follow. Take your life off of the sin that so easily beset you and put your eyes on Jesus. Take that sin consciousness, is what I call it. Being aware of your failures. Quit being aware of them. Kind of like the old golf thing. Don't hit the tree. What's going to happen? Ka-donk. Tree. Right? Why? Because you took your focus off of the thing that was the most important. Get your focus on Jesus. Walk this thing out and continue. And I don't care what tries to come in and beset you. Don't let it. Don't give it place. Do not take your eyes off of him. Do not take your eyes off of the word. Keep pouring that into you. And you will see your life change into something that you've never thought possible. And yes, this is a message for the lost, but I'm telling you, this is a message for the Church of America today. We need to wake up. We need to wake up, O sleeper, because we have been asleep. We have fallen asleep of the will, and we are letting people drown all around us. And that is not what God has called our life to be. So to wrap this up into the Fivefold Training Center, that's what's going to happen there. What we are going to do is there will be people that come there that will never step foot in a church, because it's not a church. What you're going to come into is hang out with the church, the body of Christ, right? We are going to do that in a way. God is going to do something there that will blow the socks off of Western Oklahoma. And that's not because Jason Mung's doing it. It's because Jason Mung said, I will. I will. I see what you have called my life to, and I say yes. And that's my encouragement to everybody out there that is hearing this message today, because there is a calling on your life as well. God is calling you to something. God has called your life. As a matter of fact, He created you for just this purpose. And I know what mine is because I am communing with Him. I'm hanging out with Him. And He is talking to me and He's showing me. And I'm here to tell you, you can do the same thing, because He is no respecter of men. He doesn't care who you are down here. He cares about who you were the moment that He made you. And all of those giftings and all the things that He has put into your life at conception, in your mother's womb, He created you in a way that nobody or nothing can ever change. I don't care how hard or how difficult. When you give your life to Him, you will find a peace that passes every understanding you could ever muster. And you will be able to walk a life you never thought possible. So that's what the Fivefold Training Center is going to be. It is going to be a place where the fivefold come together in oneness and walk this thing out and equip everybody else. Those people that don't know Him, that just found Him yesterday, that have been walking this for 6 months, 6 years, 60 years. I don't care. It doesn't matter, because if you have not seen the truth, that is a place where God is going to use the people that are seeing that and bringing them together so we can walk this thing out together. And just like we said in Philippians 2, we will start to see the body of Christ walk together in one mind and one body in a way we have never seen possible. And you know what that cultivates? Supernatural. In that place, you're going to see God begin to move through people, because that's who we are, the body of Christ. Healings, people being set free from oppressions, from addictions. And in the world that we're living today, identity crisis, right? We don't even know what we are anymore. And we're trying to find and make all these other categories to try to fit in, because we don't know who we are. Those people are going to show up. And we're going to welcome them in with open arms, because it is only Jesus that can reveal the truth to their heart. I will never convince them through my mouth or through men's intelligence of, oh, you're missing it. But if I love you, if I just love you, because that's all they're looking for anyway. They're just looking to be loved and be accepted. And I know I've extremely gone over my time.
I know.